Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Donna W. from California, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Today is Thursday, August 11th, and we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 21, the first full paragraph, but what about the real alcoholic, finishing with once he starts to drink? Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Mo H, 12 Traditions, Malky W, the Big Book paragraph today, Lorraine N, Vision for You, Eileen M, and then we've got newcomer greeter is Reggie O, and announcements, Leslie W. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19278. That's 19,278. And for today's 7 a.m. meeting, Thursday, August 11th, is 19,284. That's 19,284. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no positions on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mo H. to read the 12 steps.
Yeah, good morning, Donna. This is Mo H., recovery compulsive eater, and in Walnut Creek, California. The 12 steps of OA. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except then to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Next up is Malky W. to read the 12 steps, the 12 traditions.
Yes, hi, this is Malky W., recovered compulsive overeater from New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Malky W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions of the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 21 in the first paragraph. But what about the real alcoholic, finishing with once he starts to drink? And I ask Lorraine N. to read that paragraph for us and comment on it.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon today through God's grace and mercy. But what about the real alcoholic? He may start off as a moderate drinker. He may or may not become a continuous hard drinker, but at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. Well, I have this paragraph highlighted and starred and a couple of dates written in the column, probably when I relapsed and came back and was trying to get this paragraph through my head. My experience, strength, and hope on this paragraph. My experience, I'm going to share my last binge, major binge, before I came to Visions 3 years ago. It was April, I believe. Anyway, it was 3 years ago. And I was in my bed in the dark at night, once again, like I had been thousands of times, eating, had been binging all night, crying, couldn't stop, kept eating. I had a box of chocolates on the side of the bed that I had bought for someone. And I remember reaching over the side of the bed to try to stuff those last three chocolates in my mouth, crying and eating against my own will. And I knew that I could not handle this on my own anymore. I was 68 years old and I'm 71 now, and I've been in this beautiful program for the last 3 years. I've been in OA for 40 plus years, but I finally found recovery at this meeting, which is why I'm so attached to it. And through the Big Book, the more I really just stayed with it and read it and had a sponsor and had a couple that took me through the book and the steps, it started to just become my life, which I didn't get. That, you know, my problem was a spiritual malady, a spiritual emptiness. And I listened to someone on the earlier meeting talk about this gravitational pull toward food. And I just so related to that. I could not, without the help of God and the people in this program, I could not stop eating on my own. So the good news is that I have, and I have almost a year of recovery, and it's a miracle. It is nothing short of a miracle. I've been obsessed with food since kindergarten. That's my first memory of obsessing about food, and I was overweight all my life. And I'm in a normal body weight today, and welcome to the newcomers out there. If you're there and you're struggling, just keep listening, for starters. Just keep coming back and listening. It works. It really does. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N. So now we'll open for folks to share. And remember, if you've shared in, Tuesday or Wednesday, then please let others share. Because although we value your experience, we want to make sure the lines are open for lots of people to share. All right, so just one at a time, please share your first name, first initial, last name, and where you're calling from.
Wendy B.
Lisa N.
Danielle W.
H.
I have Wendy B., Lisa N., Danielle W.
Mo H.
Eileen M.
I have Mo H. and Eileen M. Okay, we'll use that line down. So I have Wendy B., Lisa N., Danielle W., Mo H., and Eileen M. So we'll start with Wendy B., followed by Lisa N., and please share where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And we're told in More About Alcoholism that we have a progressive illness, you know, that we can't go back to being a moderate or hard eater, you know, that a pickle can't go back and be a cucumber. You know, we've heard on this line. And that we get progressively worse, not better. You know, that once we cross the line of losing all control, we can't regain it. You know, that when we start chasing those fleeting momentary, you know, moments of pleasure, you know, all of our good resolve just grows dim, you know. And we also know that we can't diagnose another person, you know, that they have to identify in themselves, you know, to look to see in what areas, you know, they lose all control. And, you know, and it may look different, you know, if the person is a bulimic or an anorexic, you know, that their rigid attempts to control their consumption, you know, is in itself, you know, way out of control. And so, you know, being a real compulsive overeater is not defined by how heavy I got or if I became diabetic or morbidly obese, you know. I mean, so it can be confusing, you know, though, because, you know, if a lot of, you know, if someone's overweight, you know, they're eating more than their body burns, you know, so they are overeating, but they may not have, you know, the twofold illness, you know, the allergy of the body and the mental obsession. And personally, I crossed the line from moderate to hard to the real compulsive overeater when I could no longer diet. You know, I wanted to be thin, but I didn't want to pay the price anymore. And I just wanted to eat whatever I wanted and gain the weight, you know, and just accept myself at whatever weight, you know, I stopped at. But the problem was I didn't stop gaining. You know, I couldn't stop eating sweets. And I just had to admit I had a problem, you know, and I sought help. And I found the help I needed in this program of action, you know, described in the big book. And I'm just so grateful that I found this meeting and worked this program, and it works, just like the previous share said. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. Next up is Lisa N., followed by Danielle W.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, moderator, for your service today. I know that I, as a child, I was a heavy child and I ate more, but I don't think I thought I had necessarily a problem. I thought I was different than other people. And then when I was older, I continued with weight problems all throughout. But when I was older, college or even like in my 30s, I may have thought, well, I definitely eat more than other people. There's something going on. So I went to a pay and weigh. In fact, I went several times, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. And then I remember, as at holiday times, I realized as a kid I would sneak food at the holidays. I would try to take the dog out because in the back entrance it was cold and there were baked goods there that my sister had brought. And I would sneak them, and I'd always be the one that said, "Oh, I'll take the dog out," and thinking I was clever, not realizing that I was being manipulative and deceitful, and you know that I had a spiritual problem. But then when I got older, I remember going down the basement at Christmas, telling my kids I was going to do the laundry, and eating a special dessert that was in the refrigerator with my hands. My bare hands, just taking a big chunk of it and eating it downstairs, and then realizing that I was going to have to buy another one because I had eaten so much of that, and it was huge. So that's when I started to realize I got some other kind of issue. Got a therapist to help me, but we didn't really touch on the weight problem. We touched on other life problems, which was helpful. But it wasn't until I came to this program that it really showed me that I have been like this my whole life. And in different ways, it manifests in different ways, but a compulsive overeater. And I'm grateful to be one today. I'm grateful because I have this program, and I'm feeling so much better. So if I wouldn't have had that diagnosis, and if I wouldn't have had the realization and this program, I would still be sneaking food or thinking I was clever. So thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa N. Next up is Danielle W., followed by Mo H.
Good morning. Danielle W. from Southern California, recovered one day at a time, and happy, happy to be here today. I always knew I didn't have a healthy relationship with food. You know, I did use food to push feelings down and, as a companion and all the many ways that, you know, we use food other than as a source of energy. But I grew up in a family with parents who were always struggling with their weight. And so it just felt very normal, you know, as a family, all of a sudden we'd all be on a diet together. And for a long time, it was manageable. You know, I would put on a lot of weight and then I would commit to a new form of exercise or a new diet, and I would throw myself into it with enthusiasm, and I would get everything sort of under control for a while and proceeded along that way. And I really thought that's how most people lived. You know, there was always a new diet, a new fad, something that somebody had come up with. So I just thought that was the way most people lived. What I didn't realize is at some stage of my drinking career, I lost control. And I held on to this delusion, because I had done it for many years, that I could somehow get back to a place, a healthy place. And I remember there were two instances where that lie was shattered. One, I was at my sister's. We had a small gathering of people I really cared about. I hadn't seen in a long time. And I had made this cheesecake, and I could not stop getting up and going into that kitchen for just a little sliver. And I was ashamed. I knew everybody saw what I was doing. I'd try to come up with these ridiculous excuses, and I could not help myself. I couldn't. I also started to find that I would be sitting on the couch at the end of the day watching TV or reading, and before I knew it, my head was back in the pantry. And I almost couldn't tell you how I got there. I just couldn't do it. And that's when I started to learn about this program and I understood what progressive meant. It was just a light bulb went off and I could understand and see my disease. I understood I wasn't like everybody else. That yes, a lot of people do have to turn to diets, but they're effective. And for me, I was never going to get out of it. It was going to be insane forever. And that finally allowed me to come into OA and be willing to do whatever it took because I couldn't live with the insanity anymore. It was an absolutely hopeless situation at that point. So this paragraph resonates really strongly for me because it explains to me the difference between somebody who may be an overeater and who I am, and that I'm really sick and that it's not going to get better. I have this program and I work it every day and that keeps me sober. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle W. Next up is Mo H, followed by Eileen M.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Donna, for your service. This is Mo H, recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. Progression of the disease from the moderate to the hard to the real. On my first meeting in 1989, one of the first things I didn't remember much from that meeting, but I do remember they sold me a copy of the big book in the 12 and 12. And it wasn't until 2015 when, after one of my last horrible binges, that I got a sponsor who studied the big book. I didn't know about vision then. And she took me through, you know, page by page. And I read these paragraphs and I had never seen them before. And so then I started thinking about myself and my progression of the disease. And I had never thought of that. So I, as a child, I was a dancer. My brother and I were a team. And I'd be able to eat like normal kids. I didn't have a problem, but I remember we moved to California and it just upset all of our lives from Maryland. And the food started to become a problem. My mother wasn't home. She had a job and she wasn't monitoring my food. She loved to monitor my food. And I remember I started my first diet in high school because my ballet teacher was getting on me for, you know, the little bit of extra weight. I don't remember exactly when I turned into a real compulsive eater, but I do remember having terrible times with, I'd buy a box of something for the kids for Christmas, and I'd sit up in my bedroom and eat the whole thing before Christmas came. And that was years ago. I've even struggled in OA with my food on and off. And, you know, until I started studying this big book and I had joined this meeting to really understand this disease. And I just want to share quickly at the end here is last night at my meeting, we studied step 3. And I was thinking about that. If I would say to myself when I'm picking up the food, God, is this your will for me? That's what step 3 teaches us. I think that may help me to stop. And I just thought it was a really good insight that I had. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo H. Next up is Eileen M. And after Eileen, we'll open the line for more folks to call. And just a reminder, we're on page 21, first paragraph. But what about the real alcoholic finishing with once he starts to drink?
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Great paragraph. I have no recollection of ever being a moderate eater or a hard eater. I started overeating, at the age of 5. And, you know, my recollection was my first thing I started overeating was sugar. I was just eating sugar out of the sugar bowl by the teaspoon, you know. And the Big Book meetings have taught me that unmanageability is the root of the disease, you know, in addition to the physical allergy, you know, which is the abnormal reaction to certain foods or ingredients. And in the doctor's opinion, you know, it says the only suggestion we have is entire abstinence. You know, and that entire abstinence, you know, I had to learn that addresses the physical aspect, but I need the steps as a way of life to address the mental obsession, you know, to address the unmanageability. And, you know, it's so fascinating because I, you know, my solution to the disease, which, you know, also became an obsession, was, okay, if I just restrict calories obsessively, you know, that's somehow going to make me a normal eater. You know, that was the fantasy I had, and it just persisted for years, and that never worked for me. But I kept, you know, I had this thinking that someday that's going to work, you know. And, you know, here's the thing. The Big Book tells us in Chapter 3 that, you know, the delusion that we are like normal eaters has to be smashed. And, you know, thank God I've accepted my powerlessness. I accepted the solution that was shown to me by another recovered person. And I was desperate enough to take direction. And so, you know, here I am, I'm recovered for today, and just, you know, staying in 10, 11, and 12, because that's the way to address the spiritual malady, you know, and it works, and it really works. So thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen M. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order to that others might share their experience too. And so if you haven't shared since at least Monday, and if you have never shared or you haven't shared in a while, then please jump in.
Michelle F.
Michelle F.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Audrey
Annabelle
M. P.
Z. I think
Linda
I
W.
An Annabelle? Just that one.
Linda
moment.
W.
Have an Annabelle?
Annabelle Z.
Was there an Annabelle? Say that again.
Annabelle Z, as in zebra.
Thank you, Annabelle. Annabelle Z, and then I have someone after it. Annabelle?
Linda W.
Linda W.
Thank you.
So Michelle F., Roz G., Wendy M., Annabelle Z., and Linda W. So if everyone
wants
to mute your phone, I'll go. Who is that?
Okay. It's Michelle, just waiting for
okay,
you to
great.
Finish.
Everyone else, mute your, thank you. Mute your phone, and we'll start with Michelle F., followed by Roz G. Thank you. Michelle, go ahead.
Thank you. It's Michelle F. as in Foxtrot from Central Massachusetts. And what about the real compulsive overeater? I am a real compulsive overeater. Like many have shared, I remember eating the way I finally went, what got me to OA. I ate that way my whole life. And a lot of it was learned in childhood from my mother, who's also a compulsive overeater. And it was actually presented as this is what you do to feel better, you know, instead of what I could have really used, you know. And I'm not going to blame my mom on that because it worked for a little while. But I remember when it stopped working, I was 13. And it was actually the first time that I feel like I binged, like it ate a lot in one quantity. And I just remember sitting there finishing what I was finishing and going, why isn't this working? Why don't I feel better? I just feel full and to the point of ill. And as other people mentioned, I had the other aspect of the disease. It's like it's not normal to try and severely control your food. And I have to be very careful in my recovery that I don't get too restrictive. That's why I go to a nutritionist for a plan of eating. And when I get suspicion that I'm going one way or the other, I go back. because I went up, my best thinking wound me up in outpatient eating disorder treatment because it got to where nothing felt safe to eat. And that was with weighing and measuring and what I thought was a pretty good food plan. It's not normal to be obsessed with a number on a scale, with a size, and you have to be that way or you're not okay. That's not normal, or it shouldn't be. Sadly, I think it is becoming, at least by Western society standard, normal, but it's not healthy by any chance. It takes up so much space in my head. I don't have time to grow as a person. I don't leave my home. I don't make friendships. I don't hold a job. I don't volunteer. I don't do social things. I spend my days isolated, and I'm still recovering from the isolating part. It is a progressive and fatal illness, and I'm grateful, so grateful that right now I am abstinent, and my higher powers are keeping me from my other compulsions as well. However, I do not really go anywhere or do anything. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and my kids are going to be gone soon. And that's where this disease goes, you know. And if I didn't have all of you in the meetings, I wouldn't even be in recovery. I would be in the food, or I'd be dead. I'd be dead by now, because of either from choking or from complications due to obesity. So I'm just so grateful that all of you are here. And grateful for an opportunity to share on the line. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle F. Next up is Raj G, followed by Wendy M.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Raj G. Oops, sorry. It's Raj. I'm sorry, but I had to mute and unmute again. Okay, anyway, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in Palmdale, California, and I have COVID right now. And I know that I'm a real compulsive overeater, and I was thinking about with all the different shares about my history with eating crackers, and I love crackers. I don't eat crackers today, except for one particular brand that a food sponsor and I talked about. They're not small ones. They're rather large bread type of. It's a cracker that I can eat one and spread something on it and it's okay. But crackers, I can't eat them. I want to eat the whole box. I want to eat the whole bag. I want to eat the whole roll. And whenever I was sick, I would eat saltines. And saltines and chicken soup, you know. But it got to a point where I was bringing the whole box of saltine crackers with me to work, and I would keep a sleeve of them in my drawer. And when students got me stressed out, I'd open up the sleeve and start eating them. And that was like my little drug in my drawer in my classroom. And Cheez-It, Fritos, any kind of little piece, one and I'm done. And that's for me, that where it says lose all control once I start to eat. And I'm so grateful for the meetings, you know, for the meetings on Zoom and the meetings on the phone, and for prayer and meditation and for working with others, because I have incredibly short memory syndrome. When I get hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and now sick, those are danger times for me to think that food is going to solve it or make me feel better. It may make me feel better for a little period of a time, but a few years ago, when I was in Vision for You, I got sick and I started eating saltine crackers. And once you know, they were in my classroom drawer once again. So I can't fall for that. I need to remember that I'm the real deal, that crackers are a danger alcohol food for me, and there's plenty of other healthy, wonderful foods that I can eat while I'm ill and in my life. You know, it's just There are nutritional foods to help, but crackers certainly aren't one of them. And I have to remember what I am. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Raj G. Next up is Wendy M.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Wendy M., recovering in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you so much, moderator, for your service. So the real deal. I started off with dog biscuits. I was probably 5 years old, and I thought those were a good idea. And even though I didn't like them, I kept eating them because they seemed like they were maybe a cookie, right? And then the sheets of Oreo cookies. And this is early. This is 5, 6 years old. And then the cookie batter, you know, why make the cookies when you can just eat the batter? And it was so, I remember just this with my fingers and the whole bit, and then downing the milk and then needing another one and another one. I remember a liquid diet that I was on, and my family was so excited. 3 weeks, and I lost a ton of weight. And the way I broke the diet was eating Dots candy, because I figured it was just a teeny little thing, you know, it wasn't. So I had the obsession of the mind. I had the crazies. And driving 60 miles an hour in my car searching for my last apple bite because I weighed and measured it and I could have it. And thinking that maybe putting myself rather people in harm was a good idea. And then finally the whiskey and ice cream.
Wendy, we're losing you. You're getting all spotty.
I'm sorry?
We're losing you. You're kind of coming and going.
Oh, is this better? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Is that any better? How about that?
Yeah, I think that's better.
Yeah. Okay, sorry about that. So the good news is that I'm the real deal. The good news is for the first time in my life, I know I'm the real deal. And knowing that, right, gives me freedom. Knowing who I am is the beginning. It's that honesty step. It's, oh my God, I have this. And thank God that I know that. And then, you know, they talk about control. I'm going to begin to lose all control. Absolutely. The disease is progressive. And I just love the word control, because at the heart of my disease is dishonesty, and it's control. It's how can I run this show? How can I control this obsession? And I know that I can't. I know today I can't. But, you know, just and I was so controlling that I never became obese, right? Like, I was able to eat all that stuff, but I also tried to control it in many ways, especially through exercise. And then I just want to say, and if you're struggling, I'm like 2.5 weeks abstinent, and I've been in the program 21 years. And oh my Lord, it is all about the food, and it's not about the food, but it's really about the food in the beginning. I can't believe I'm on the other side of it. I've never been this clean and sober in my life. And it is a new experience. And being this clean and sober is what is getting me to God. I don't have to think about praying to God. I'm just getting to God, right? Like, I'm just taking the action. I'm just taking the direction. My sponsor says this. I say, that's uncomfortable. She says, that's fine. Do you want freedom? Yes, I want freedom. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Next up is Annabelle Z, followed by Linda W.
Good morning, fellows. This is Annabelle T., recovered compulsive overeater in Washington State. And I just wanted to share very briefly this one line that I have never read in the, honestly, over 30 years that I've been reading this book. There's that line that says, he may or may not become a continuous hard drinker. And followed by, but at some stage, he loses all control. Because for a lot of compulsive overeaters, and especially that have my experience, and the more I'm on this meeting and going to meetings, I find that there's a lot of people out there that suffer from anorexia and bulimia as well. But there's that one little point where they go into binging and overeating. Not everyone, but that's what I identify with. That's my experience. And so I too, you know, I never became obese. I became at a very uncomfortable weight when my clothes didn't fit, and did the pay and ways and stuff. But it brings me so much, what's the word, where I feel a part of when I read this, may or may not become a continuous hard drinker. It's not the point whether or not you're a moderate drinker or a hard drinker. It's just that there's one point where there's loss of control. Like I cannot get my hand out of the box or the bag. And, you know, I relate to everything everybody said. And if I read back the paragraph previously, I'm like, yep, you know, I could stop. It was really difficult and troublesome. And of course, I next would need to go back again. I would keep, you know, I wasn't really relapsing because I never got abstinent. And I did get some medical attention when I was 27, 28. I did become a hard compulsive overeater. But it really isn't the point. The point is that there's that stage of the career of behaviors that I have lost all control. And to be honest with you, someone said, I don't know when I became a real alcoholic or a real compulsive overeater. I remember doing that binging when I was 9 years old as well, and I ate dog cookies when I was five. So, like, it doesn't really matter. So there's that loss of control to happen that I just have no control over because it's out of my power. It's out of my ability. And that's what the steps are about, are to find a power. So thanks for letting me share. You have a good day.
Thank you, Annabelle Z. Next up is Linda W.
Hi, this is Linda W. from Las Vegas. This is a very powerful paragraph to me, and even the one above. My dad died of obesity. And you think in my head that, you know, I would say, okay, he died, you know, what's the matter with you? But I think, too, that this started at a very young age, but I never recognized what I did. I used to babysit, and I used to sneak all the food and didn't realize, you know, my mother never made this, but this lady made that, you know. And I guess it progressively had gotten worse, and I didn't even realize it. And I did control it by being on diets and white-knuckling it. And I even worked in the cafeteria. I must have thought I was really crazy when I was a kid. But, you know, this paragraph did get me. And a couple of days ago, like 3 or 4 days ago, I had something happen to me that I never, ever, 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 ever thought would ever happen. They say it's a continuous disease. It gets worse and worse and worse. Well, I hit it. I hit it where I couldn't stop eating. I would start it in the grocery store with the donuts and the this and the that. And I said, oh, my God, this is what real compulsive eating is. And if I don't do something about it, I'm going to die. So with the grace of God, please, God, let me keep abstinent. I've only been abstinent a couple days, but I feel a lot better. I'm thankful that I have a good sponsor. I'm thankful that I have a good support team. And I'm a believer. This disease can get worse, and then you die. And that's no difference. I'm a sick person. And I pray that God removes this awful, awful disease from me, even if it is one day at a time. I need the freedom. And I thank you very much, everybody, for your service. Linda W., Las Vegas.
Linda W., okay. We've got probably time for two short shares. So I'll... Take
Penny C.
shares, please.
Alexis,
Penny
New Jersey.
And Alexis?
Yes.
All right, great. If everyone else can mute, we'll have Penny C. and Alexis. And if you could each take, like, 2.5 minutes.
Okay, thank you so
Go
much.
Go ahead, Penny.
Yeah, I'm Penny C. I'm recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. And, you know, every time we come to this part of this chapter in, hard drinker, moderate drinker, real alcoholic or real compulsive overeater, I think about how often over the years that I've been working with others and even myself thinking, spending way too much time trying to figure out what category I fit into or what category others fit into. And the bottom line for me is when people call me and want me to help them get into a category, I simply use what it says, you know, at the beginning of the chapter. Have you lost all control of your eating? Can you say that that's, you know, we concede to yourself, that's how it puts it, and keep it simple. For me, it doesn't matter what category, what I call myself. The simple truth is that I have a disease, and it's called compulsive overeating. And for 47, almost 48 years of my life, I didn't know what was wrong with me. You know, a fat baby, the picture I have of myself that when I was only a few months old, today people would look and say, what was wrong with those parents to let that baby get so fat? And so that's my take on all of these last few paragraphs, that I don't encourage people to put themselves into any of those categories, even though they're worth, you know, writing about and talking about. But let's just get with it. Can you concede to your innermost self that you've lost all control of your eating? Let's get to the big book and the steps. And so with the help of my higher power, that's what I did. It's been a blessing for so many years. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. Next up is Alexis. And if you could give us the first initial of your last name and your location, please.
Alexis F. in New Jersey, East Coast.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes. When I smoked, I was a really heavy smoker, and I was burning holes in the rug next to the curtains. My husband came out and said, you're going to kill us and everybody in this building. We were living in a condominium X time. There were 8 families in each building. And I was living in a one building that particularly had a lot of older people in it. And I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do, because I really can't stop? Number one, I invoked God. And number two, I realized that it was a complete defeat, that I couldn't do it without him. And he gave me the gift of release from smoking. When I came into this program, I doubted very much if I could give up the eating, because it had been with me since a baby. And when I was a baby, I ate everything. I was underneath the table when I was crawling, eating a block of butter. My mother found me from that she had left out. And I was out one time with my daughter in an ice cream parlor. And every day I was going there. And I was eating sometimes as much as 2 gallons a day of it. And I saw her eating the same thing that I was eating, and I thought, I can't do this to her because I loved her. I can't have her, you know, eating like me or eat like this in front of her. So I never had that again. That was over 7 years ago. One by one, I gave up all my alcoholic foods, all the candy and the cake and everything. The last binge was at a wedding in November when they had cake, and I ate that, and it was a large family gathering, and 4 of my family has had gastric bypass. We're all heavy eaters, every one of us. And someone called me last night and said they were 95% abstinent. To me, in my opinion, I don't think you're ever 100% abstinent. there's always something, whether it's one string being above the measuring cup. And
Hi.
I think if you get that crazy about it, thank you.
Great. Thank you, everybody, for your awesome shares today. And I would like to thank all the readers. We've had the 12 Steps, Mo H., Malky W. for the 12 Traditions, Lorraine N., the Big Book, Eileen M. will read the Vision in a moment. And next we'll have also Reggie O. will do Newcomer Greeter and Leslie W. announcement. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Eileen M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.